KFC Radio featuring Feidelberg and Asa Akira. This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Are you struggling to find the perfect gift for someone who wants it all, for someone who has it all? Omaha Steaks has got you covered. Right now, you can order a package that comes with 2 filet mignons, 2 top sirloins, 2 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 kielbasa sausages, 4 burgers, all beef meatballs, 4 potatoes, 4 caramel apples, and 1 Omaha Steak seasoning package. Fights, how much do you think all that costs?
I don't know.
Can you believe it?
$1,000?
That's what I mean. Two filet mignons alone should be like $1,000. This is $49.99 right now if you use my promo code.
What?
Dude, that is a 77% discount. That makes no sense.
That's insane.
Usually you use my promo code, you get like 15, 20%. Nope. Omaha Steaks is going to hook you up with basically food in case there's like a zombie apocalypse and you need to survive forever. And it's going to be just $49.99. So go to omahasteaks.com, use the promo code MAILTIME, and you're going to get that 77% discount. Once again, all that food for just $49.99. It's a guaranteed hit for the holiday season.
I'm hungry, too. It was a bad ad read for right now.
It's lunchtime. It's lunchtime. We're going to eat like some like crappy sandwiches, not filet
mignon. I just had a sandwich, and I had half of one, and then I found like a legit pube in it. And so I'm not as hungry as I was.
I was going to say, now my appetite's ruined as well.
That's gross.
You know what?
Did you finish it?
No, did you? That's a good question, though. Because sometimes you see like a pube or something like that, and you're like, well, that's bad, but I'm really hungry.
No. Not sometimes. That never happens.
Oh, come on. Sometimes you
find that happens to me like half the time.
Yeah, when you're that hungry. You know, there's like
you can just choose to ignore it.
There's a fly that lands on your food. There's a hair.
Oh, fuck. I'll eat a goddamn fly. I don't care about that. But just like a
he's gonna throw up. He's gonna throw up. Fights is just a puke monster now. All he ever does is just start puking. Once a day, I hear him across the hall.
I think a hair from the head is actually grosser than a pube.
I'm gonna challenge you on that one.
I strongly disagree.
Yeah, but
it's longer.
It's really a quality, not quantity situation when it comes to hair.
That's very true. I would much rather a hair from your head than in between your crotch.
Yeah, but a pube is so small. Like, you could swallow it without even noticing.
Okay. Moving on. Moving on. We got Asa over on the West Coast right now. We're taking this shit coast to coast, okay? That's how KFC Radio is going to be.
Bi-coastal.
Bi-coastal from New York to wherever the fuck you are in California. How was your Thanksgiving, Asa?
It was great. I went to my agent is like my best friend. His name's Mark Spiegler, and we did Thanksgiving. We do Thanksgiving together every year, and we just go to Whole Foods and buy the whole thing because none of us cook.
I did that last year, and it was like
it's great.
It wasn't like the best Thanksgiving meal I've ever had, but it was like no dishes, no cooking. It was like bingo, bango, done. Wasn't that bad?
Yeah.
What do you mean no dishes? What'd you eat off of?
I'm not cooking in the pots.
Paper
and the
plates.
Yeah, come on.
Paper plates at Thanksgiving? What are you guys, fucking animals?
Fights is too bougie for that. He gets out the fine china.
Paper plates? This is too much. Buying the food is one thing. If we're using paper plates, my Thanksgiving meal, it needs like a steel plate because there's so much stacked on top of each other. A paper plate would not handle my meal. It wouldn't be able to do the job. No chance.
But you can just use multiple paper plates.
Oh, now we're just destroying the environment.
Yeah, that's true.
Asa, are you the type who like goes to town on Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
Because
it's the only holiday I enjoy.
Oh, well, you're going to fit in real well with this happy bunch here. Feidelberg hasn't been happy at any holiday for the past like 20 years, so.
The problem with holidays is that everything closes, and that's so incredibly inconvenient.
It's so,
and I'm not religious, so
it's that's really annoying. Like Wednesday or Thursday, whenever Thanksgiving is, we woke up at my friend's house and we were trying to find more booze, and we fucking couldn't get beers anywhere.
Yep,
because there was fucking everything was closed. It was so annoying.
Weird.
And especially if you're selling booze, like just open up and you're gonna clean up.
Alcohol stores should be 24/7
at all
times.
It
makes no sense that I can't go buy a beer at 6 a.m. if I want one.
I hear that, man. Were you fights? You were with family. I was with family. You were with your boy Spiegler and a bunch of your coworkers. I guess we'll call it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's. I mean, I guess probably throughout the day, like maybe 15 girls, come in and out with like their boyfriends or
where
whatever.
Who hosts?
Spiegler.
Oh, it's at his house.
Yeah, but I clean.
Huh. How about that?
So Spiegler,
you guys don't have any Latin porn stars around to do that?
I clean. What?
No Latina porn star maids to do all the cleaning for
just,
you?
Just a quick little racist
no,
joke. just wanted to get the racism out there early.
So we were, this is the first episode we've done since Couch by Couch West fights, which I would say was an overwhelmingly surprising success.
I wouldn't say surprising.
I would say surprising. I did not expect it to go as smoothly as it did.
It went pretty smoothly. It was good. A lot of fun.
A lot of fun. Crowd was into it. The after parties were fun. The meet and greets were fun. It was just a good weekend
all
around.
There was a lot less sex in the green room than I expected.
There was no sex in the green room, man. And you know who I blame for that? You.
I'll take
it. Did anyone have sex?
No.
No. None of the. None of the. Yeah. I mean, you're an idiot. You are so dumb.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about how dumb it is. I'm assuming, at least, unless you're not telling me something, that you had no sex at Couch by Couch West.
No,
that's Asa's theory: is that you're never talking about hooking up because you secretly have a girlfriend.
I mean, it's the only viable explanation.
What do you mean?
How? I mean, I can't imagine that a single dude puts on a show, and if there's one thing women love, it's men on a stage.
True story.
Also, is this just you telling me you have a crush on me?
Maybe.
I can't see how a guy who looks like you does a show and then doesn't have sex.
I mean, the opportunity must have been there, right?
I can only imagine. On Friday night, we were all...
See, this is the problem. We did this episode, I don't know if you were on it or not, Asa, a couple weeks ago. It was all about missing signals and missing signs. The fact that he's like, I don't know, maybe the opportunity was there.
Well,
like, were we in the same city? Were we in the same situation? Yes, the opportunity was there, man.
Well, Friday...
And wasn't the crowd like 70% women?
Yes.
Well, that's a made-up number.
It was like at least 50-50, man.
I don't... First of all, yeah, I mean, you're probably right. I probably fucked up somewhere along the line, but I don't even really remember what happened Friday night. Friday night was kind of weird, I think. I don't even remember what happened. Well, Friday night, because we didn't even do the... Like, the meet and greet was like so, like,
yeah.
A clusterfuck. It was a disaster. And then Saturday, I had friends in town, and like I was back in my hometown, so I was the one in town, and I went to a strip club with friends at like 10:30,
which is, you know, I can't.
It's harder.
That.
It's harder to pick up girls at strip clubs.
Yeah, because everyone's trying to get paid.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's so like, difficult.
I'm not here for you, bro. I'm here for that paycheck, dude. So,
but you know what? I used to be a stripper, and I have gone home with like a few guys
when you
from
say,
the strip club.
You say used to be like you were there last weekend, so it was like very loose. Used to.
Well, no, now I'm a feature dancer, and that's different.
Oh, got it.
But I used to be a house dancer, actually, at the Hustler Club in the city,
on the West Side.
Yeah, 50th and West Side Highway. And I've gone home with a few guys from there. And I always thought, like, this is the ultimate compliment. If I'm willing to, like, go from work where I'm making money to hang out with you for free, that is, like...
That's just dumb is what it is. Those guys must have been awesome.
But here's the thing. I would leave work to go hang out with, like, a homeless guy. Like, I guess it's a little different, but I have no, I would even if I worked in like an hourly wage, I would have no problem leaving work to go.
But that's
not the same thing. Like it would be the same if your job were you were getting paid for every homeless guy you hung out with, and then the one homeless guy you went home
true.
With for free, that would be the same scenario.
And that is a very important distinction she just made.
That's a fair point.
Like
that's
homeless men
point.
For money or homeless men for free, I'll go with the free one. That's crazy.
Right.
So wait, what did these guys? So these were just dudes who showed up at the club, paid for a lap dance, and you were like, "You're cool enough and good looking enough that I'm just gonna go have sex with you." What?
Yeah.
What were?
That's exactly
you,
how that.
Can
happened.
You remember what like their like the final line that like sealed the deal was? Like, what did they say that you were like, "All right, you're right, let's get out of here"? Or was it just in general charm?
No, it was never like a convincing kind of thing. It was just like, "Oh, I really got along with them." I mean, one became like kind of a serious boyfriend.
Oh,
and
man,
then he
that's...
left me for another stripper at that time.
That's
and he's married to her now with kids.
Modern day fairy tale turned tragic right there. That is that should be in your next book. That should just be the whole focus of the next book. That's a
riveting
story.
It's practically Shakespearean.
Well, that's.
But yeah,
you're probably the nicest stripper.
Was there a certain like number that they have to hit before you even consider it?
No, like it wasn't even like that. In fact, if they had been spending money, I probably wouldn't have even left with them.
That's a fair point.
Because
they were spending money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
So it's classic, like, you know, where you kind of like ignore the girl and then she's into you. It's like, I'm not going to pay the stripper. And then she wants to go
home.
No,
that's the tactic.
Okay.
Let's not go that far. So while we were up in Couch by Couch West, we went out to lunch. I was hanging out with the Feidelberg crew. Met a few of his friends for the first time. And I ended up just telling a couple stories that I've come across in my personal life recently that, in hindsight, like, your friends probably think I am a fucking lunatic.
Kevin gets a Moscow Mule or two in him and just starts telling fucking campfire horror stories.
Basically.
At 11 a.m. brunch.
And the whole time I'm telling these stories, I'm thinking in my head, Akira is going to fucking love these two tales. So
okay.
The first one... We'll start with the less crazy of the two, and it's crazy that this is, like, the normal one. I have a friend whose sister was virtually kidnapped.
Love it.
Meaning her brother lives in a different city. She's up here in New York. These guys hacked into their phones, called each person from their other person's phone, and said, we have your brother, we have your sister.
What?
Send money or we're going to kill him. And they were like, we're looking at you right now in the park. You're hanging out at XYZ Park. And she was.
They really?
Because
okay.
I think they were just tracking her phone. So they had like GPS.
Okay.
So she was like, oh my God, this is the real deal. The brother was getting a phone call from his sister's phone. And
right.
They had hacked into the voicemail and were able to like piece together a sentence using that person's words. So it was like, yo, I have your man Feidelberg. Here he is. And he played the recording and it sounded like Feidelberg being like, yes, they have me. Cause they like were able to hack it all together.
Wait, why them? Why were they the target?
I don't know.
Are they extremely rich?
No, that's kind of what was like the tip off. Like, so this is, I feel bad even kind of telling the story, but my buddy called me in like a frenzy thinking like his sister had really been kidnapped. And he was, like, so upset. And the whole time I'm thinking a little more rationally because I'm on the outside of it being like, dude, normal people don't get kidnapped. Like, you have to be filthy rich. You have to be important, you know? So, like, thank God I ended up being right in the sense that none of this happened. But
and how did they find out?
How did who find out? That, like, what was going on?
It was, yeah.
So, the police ended up getting involved and were tracking her because she was on the phone for something like 220 straight minutes. Because they were like, don't hang up or we're going to kill him. So they were able to track where she was. And then they looked at like security footage of her going in and out of banks. And they realized that she was just on the phone and that there wasn't anybody actually there. So they were able to like realize
that. How much were they asking for?
Like small amounts. They were like.
Like how much?
Like send like $2,000 here, go to this bank, send $2,000 more. So it was all for like 10 grand. Which they ended up freezing the accounts and everybody ended up being safe. But like. And then, so apparently, after I hear all this, I'm like, this sounds like total bullshit to me. I hop on Google and I start reading it up. It's like a new fad. It's like a new thing that hackers are doing, virtual kidnapping.
How guilty would you have felt
to text my mom right now and let her know.
if you were like, hey, man, don't fucking do it. Like, people don't get kidnapped. It's probably bullshit. Just fucking ignore it.
Well, so, all right. So, actually, what's funny is the way the phone call started was... we have your sister. She's been in a car accident. Like, you need to send money for the damages right now. And they called my friend originally, like, a couple weeks earlier. And they didn't quite go to the extent of, like, using the voice or calling from their number. It was just a random phone call. And my buddy was like, get the fuck out of here. This is a scam. Don't ever call me again. And I was like, dude, if your brother and sister were the same way, they just hung up the phone, none of this would have happened. like, tell your brother and sister they're too nice to each other. I would have been like, this is bullshit. Is this Feidelberg? Who's fucking with me right now? You guys, get the fuck out of here.
I probably would do the same thing.
So, but the lesson here is, and I don't know why anybody doesn't abide by this, don't ever answer the phone if it's any type of unknown number.
Just
ever.
Any.
Don't ever answer the phone, period.
That is the lesson here.
Yeah, right?
You're right. That's the lesson.
I mean, who does that? When I get a phone call that's unknown or just a random number, there is a 0% chance I answer that phone call.
I don't even go look into the voicemail. If you look at
my, my voicemail's full. You cannot even leave me a voicemail if you want it.
Remember like 2 years ago, I have 114 voicemails. Remember 2 years ago, Dave Portnoy wrote a blog that said, you know, I don't have a voicemail. And
you're a child.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years. I still got zero fucking voicemails from Dave Portnoy.
That's an ultimate mail time move, too. Like, you can't reach me. My mailbox is full. I never got that phone call. I never heard from you. No responsibility. Mm-hmm. You didn't kidnap me. I'm not sending you money. We're out. That's it. The less accessible you are, the less chance you have to be virtually kidnapped. That's fucking the
lesson
here.
Although, you know, it does drive me crazy. I mean, I definitely get very curious. So, and I've had the same number since high school. So I'm always like, oh, maybe it's someone like from my past or something. But
all the more reason.
Well, yeah,
not to answer.
Yeah. And that makes you want to answer it.
No, but it drives me crazy when someone calls me from either an unknown number in general or an unknown number to me, and they don't leave a voicemail. Because I'm like, all day, I'm like, who was that?
Oh, I forget about it in about 3 seconds. I forget that call ever happened.
If you're not texting me, I don't know you or like you, basically.
You're right. I know on an intelligent level, I know that you guys are right, but
I feel like we've had a couple of these conversations recently with I think your like Lena Dunham thing was the same response where you're like, I know you guys are right, but I don't believe it. Or so I forget what it was, but I know like you were telling us we were right while refusing to admit we were right.
John, we are now doing a podcast with a female, and so we're gonna have to get used to some different things.
Welcome to women.
Yeah. And so I told that story, and you can imagine that like these five or six people that I just met were kind of like, who the fuck is this dude? And I'm sure, you know, it sounds like a totally made up story. So I'm sure they thought I was crazy. And then I decided to tell my second story, and I'm pretty sure I'm never going to be invited to brunch ever again.
Asa's going
to
lose her mind.
I need you to like buckle up for this one. This is going to, I feel like this one's going to like strike a chord with you.
No,
okay?
you're setting the bar too high now.
No.
Trust me, I'm not.
No.
You cannot even imagine where this bar is going. So, this is, you know, like a third-hand story, a friend of a this or that. This girl is in college, and she's studying abroad, and I believe she was in Croatia. Goes out, meets a dude, decides to go home with him. So they get back to their apartment, and
She's American,
and this is a local guy, yeah. So they start to fool around a little bit, and the guy is like, hey, can I rub lotion on your legs? And she was like, okay, that's a little weird, but that's kind of kinky, whatever.
Oh, my God, I love this.
I'm in Croatia, so, like, whatever. When in Rome sort of thing. He starts massaging her legs, rubbing her legs. At that moment, they get a phone call. She gets a phone call from her roommate who's studying abroad with her, and she's locked out. And I guess it was cold, and, you know, you're in a foreign country, and she's like, I have to go get my friend. I can't leave her out to dry.
Oh, my God, this is so Amanda Knox.
And so the dude gets, like, over the top angry, kind of like, no, you can't leave. And she's like, dude, I don't know. This is weird. You're rubbing lotion on my legs. Now you're really freaking out. I'm getting out of here. So she leaves the apartment, goes home, gets a friend, decides not to go back. That's it. She thinks she's done. Like a week later, she starts to get like a rash on her legs and her skin's weird. So she goes to the doctor. The doctor's like, have you come into any weird contact with anything? She's like, yeah, this is kind of embarrassing, but this dude I was hooking up with rubbed lotion on my legs. They were like, okay, well,
okay, stop. I think I know what's going on.
If you know what's going on.
Can I take a guess?
If you know what's going on, Asa.
Was it numbing lotion?
It was not numbing lotion. What did you think was going to happen? That she wasn't going to be able to, like, walk or move or anything like that?
I thought that he was rubbing numbing lotion and was going to amputate her.
You're not far off, you sicko.
Oh, my God.
So they go to the dermatologist. And they do a sample, and like the results come back a couple days later, and they call her, and they're like, "You need to get down to our office right now. The FBI is here. We need to talk to you." It turned out it was a lotion that cannibals put on their victims to soften the flesh. So they were like, "Who is this dude? And where?" Listen, Asa, they were like, "Who is he? Where is he?" You're so sick. You're so sick, Akira. You are from outer space. So they go, they're like, who is this guy? Where does he live? She sends the FBI there. They find five dead bodies in his apartment.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is the best thing I've ever heard.
I knew you were going to like this.
Hold on. What?
I knew. I mean, right? That's some shit, no?
Oh, my God. This is amazing.
Wait, yo, I think you're actually kind of like I thought you were kidding at first, but are you, like, actually aroused by this?
I've never gotten a reaction from a woman better than that in my life.
The hair flick, it's like, oh, my God.
No, like, it's, yeah, I'm very excited right now. hold on, wait, hold on. So the guy got arrested, or?
No, I think he was, like, I think he probably realized after that chick escaped that, like, they were going to catch on to him. So I think it was just an empty apartment, and there was five dead bodies. So, yeah, I think there's a cannibal still running around Croatia. Be on the lookout.
Oh, my God. I'm never going to get a massage from a random dude
ever again.
Okay. Is that a thing that, like, happens regularly?
I mean, it could.
Oh, all right. Well, that's it. I'm done getting random massages from strangers.
Cross that off the list.
What even,
apparently,
what
this
even
is a dangerous
is this
thing.
Stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I don't know if it's probably not, like, literally cannibal cream, but it's probably something that does whatever cannibals need.
Like,
but,
where do you get it?
You know, cannibal.com, cannibal store. You go to the cannibal bodega. The fact that you were even, like, on the right track is impressive.
Oss is going to find out where to get that and then go, like, picking up dudes who shop at those places. Like how guys go, like, to Whole Foods for milk.
Yeah, well, dude.
Ooh, look at him. He's got the cannibal cream.
I mean,
the cannibal cop. Chicks love the cannibal
cop. It's like an essential oil or something. No, because, wow, that's so crazy.
Yeah, and, like, so thank God that girl got locked out of the apartment, or that chick would have gotten eaten. Fucking nuts, man.
And he starts with the legs. Or do you think that...
I don't even know.
Do you think the legs are the tastiest part?
Oh, my God, Akira.
Oh, it's a titty.
Or do you think he starts with the legs because it's like, oh, let me massage your legs?
Yeah, I would imagine that. But I'd imagine, you know, like, you get the thigh. That's like...
I guess that's... No, I don't like chicken thighs. I don't like dark meat.
The wings? You go with the arms?
No, like chicken thighs are like, they're like brown.
I'm saying, yeah.
The thigh's so good.
Nah, not for me.
You like that dark meat?
No, I don't like the dark meat.
Like
the thigh
that.
Is
she
the
likes
dark meat. Oh, Asa likes the dark meat.
I love that dark meat.
Yeah.
You know what I think is crazy? That chicken breast is the leanest meat. And if you had human breast, it would be like the fattiest meat.
That's like when, you know, you drive on a parkway and you park on a driveway.
Right.
I bet the ass is pretty good.
The ass is probably the best part.
I like to eat it now. So you know what else I like to do?
Not the asshole.
I like to look sharp in custom fitting suits. You were talking about this the other day at the tailgate, how you have a couple suits and you have a couple of, like, your big time suits, right? Like, your major suits. You know when you gotta pull out the real deal. You know, it's one thing when you're going to, like, your cousin's confirmation. It's another thing when you got a gala, right, or a nice wedding to go to. And that's where Indochino is going to come in. Indochino is one of the largest made-to-measure menswear brands. They make it incredibly easy to get great-fitting, high-quality suits at an incredible price. They have hundreds of fabrics and patterns. You can customize it from the lapels to the pleats to the linings. All you got to do is submit your body measurements, kick back and relax. They will send you a suit in 4 weeks. Right now, you can get any premium Indochino suit for just $389. Go to Indochino.com, that's Indochino.com, and enter mail time at checkout. And so you get 50% off the regular price, just $389. Dude, I'm giving you steaks for 77% off. I'm giving you suits for 50% off. Is there anything I don't do for these people?
There's nothing you don't do.
Indochino.com, promo code mail time. Get your custom suit for just $389. We're going to get into a little segment I call Around the World, where we're going to go all around the planet, from India to China to Florida, all the weird news of the world. And one of these stories is fake. We always talk about how a lot of these stories you could just make up on the spot. I'm going to see if you guys know which ones are real and which ones are not.
Read an AP story that that college kids have a shocking inability to discern between real and fake news. So I'm interested to see how we.
Yeah,
do this
I mean
one.
It's hot in the streets right now. Facebook all over the place. Fake news, the political fake news. This is going to be a little bit different because we're not talking about Donald Trump and stuff. We're talking about African hookers in Zimbabwe. That's where we're going to start. A Zimbabwe sex worker injured a man with a beer bottle after he offered to pay for sex with a hard-boiled egg. The man, Moses Mushanga, 28, walked up to the young lady of the night. He leaned on her chest, touched her breast before he said, "All I got to give you is a hard-boiled egg." She ended up cracking him with a beer bottle, punched him in the face, and knocked him out.
That's a little rude.
That's irrational.
Yeah. I thought they fucked, and then he was like, "Wait, I don't have money." All he did was offer an egg. I mean, listen, it's all the guy's got.
I mean,
you work with what you have.
Now,
Here's what?
I can see it both ways. Me, an American, if someone came up to me and like felt me up or tried to have sex with me and then tried to pay me with a hard boiled egg, I'd be like, I would be upset. I would hit you with a beer bottle because I think that's disrespectful to say that I'm only worth a hard boiled egg. Zimbabwe, I feel like a hard boiled egg can go a long way.
Yeah,
I feel like that's like
it's
a delicacy.
Like $100.
Yeah, exactly. You pay hundreds of dollars for hard-boiled eggs in Zimbabwe, babe. You should be. That's better than money. Hard-boiled eggs in Zimbabwe makes you like, you know, high society.
I don't care.
They're on like a barter system.
Right.
I don't care where I am. Fuck eggs. I wouldn't want an egg for nothing.
You would be upset
if
then.
I was one of those little African kids with like the bug on my eyes and the
swollen bellies.
The ones who are I still don't understand how you're fat when you're skinny, but it doesn't make sense to me.
I'll tell you.
No, not. I didn't mean skinny fat. I mean, I still don't understand
how
you get.
I will tell you. Your stomach fills up with air because it's empty. So it's pretty depressing.
Oh, is that what? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well,
why? How did this get on the news?
Oh, this is.
Hey, awesome. Maybe it didn't. That's where you're supposed to figure this one out.
Interesting.
I'll tell you something real funny, too. Super producer BC, he sponsors a kid. His name is Om Prasad. And he is getting scammed to death. He's been sponsored because he pays like.
He should ask him how much a hard boiled egg goes for.
Well, here's the problem. He's probably like a fucking like Dominican kid from Brooklyn because they send pictures of him. He's been sponsoring him for like 10 years. So the kid's like 20 now. And he looks just like, you know, like a dude from around the way in the bodega. Like, yo,
how much does he send?
It's more than you should. Like, you know how usually it's like 20.
Isn't it a cup of coffee a day?
Yeah,
something?
It's like 22 cents a day. And I think he pays like, it's like a monthly bill for him. I'm like, you are getting scammed by Om Prasad, who probably lives around the corner from you in Brooklyn. But yeah, maybe I'll reach out to Om and be like, yo, how much does a hard-boiled egg go for in your made-up country? We head over to North Korea. Shout out to my man Kim Jong. Oh, RIP to Fidel Castro, because a bunch of people apparently think that he's a cool dude. What's up with that? Jimmy Carter being like, oh, my heart goes out to the family. Like, what? Fidel Castro was a bad dude.
The president.
I can't believe he was alive.
Yeah, me too. I don't think he was. I think this is like the fourth Fidel Castro to die.
They were finally got enough of the lie.
Yeah, I think that something finally gave in Cuba. They were like, we can't keep this up anymore.
I get that.
So North Korea's Kim Jong-un has got his scientists to develop a sex potion from sea urchins. The sex tonics are made from snake extracts, sea urchins, and mushrooms soaked in alcohol, which that sounds like quite the cocktail to me. I don't know what that would do to me, but I'm sure it would be a fucking trip.
Sea urchins have been used for vitality in Eastern culture for like a long time.
Oh, Johnny.
Really?
Professor Feidelberg over here.
I didn't know this. Yeah.
He's like, yeah, you
like sea urchin dust.
Are you sure you're not thinking of oysters?
No, sea urchin dust, like seahorses and shit like that.
Oh, you know, so John's like, here, eat this seahorse, and then let me rub this lotion on your legs, and we'll get cooking. What?
The thing with Kim Jong, like, everything he does sounds so made up that I believe that. Like, that's not even the most craziest thing he would have done.
Oh, no, this is like child's play.
See,
for Kim
but these,
Jong.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing with this made up news versus fake news we're trying to do here. The confusing aspect is, like, are you gonna just be reading a fake story that's not even on the internet? Because like, I think both of these last stories were fake. Like, I don't doubt that this was reported,
published somewhere. Right.
But
we're going to talk about probably all pseudo fake stories, but one of them is legitimately fake.
Okay.
One's proven
like,
fake.
Because, like, Kim Jong-un, like, has, according to him, I believe he has a unicorn ranch, right? Or something like that?
You trying to tell me he doesn't?
Like, he has pet unicorns, and he, like, shot a .36 golfing or something like that. Like,
But the thing is, he might be telling the truth. Like he may think he's telling the truth. Like maybe he does really believe that he has a unicorn farm.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Like you mean exactly. people just kind of have like a pony and they put like a birthday hat on him,
a horn on his head, and they're like, "So a unicorn." Yeah, I mean, if an entire country tells you something, you're.
Well, he's the one telling the country everything. Like, wasn't it reported again by the North Korean news that they won every gold medal in the Olympics again this year?
Yep. And everyone in North Korea was like, "We did it again! We swept the board!"
I'm sure it goes both ways. Like, maybe they appease him too, you know? Like, he's like, "I'm demanding a unicorn farm," and I'm sure they make it happen for him.
Yo, I'm telling you, Kim Jong-un lives the best life in the world because it's this fantasy world. Like you said, give me a unicorn and they have to do it or they get blown up with a missile launcher. So
remember when Kim Jong-il died? That was one of my favorite internet videos.
When they were all
ever.
Crying?
When they were all crying.
It was amazing.
That was some of the funniest fucking
shit. I didn't see it.
They were weeping. It was like the most fake cries ever. It was just towns of people fake crying. Because they knew cameras were on them. It was the funniest fucking shit.
Because like if you don't cry, you get murdered. Yeah. They feed you to dogs.
So just people like standing in town square, it's like trying their fucking hardest to cry.
I'm gonna look it up. Okay, well so far I think that one's true.
Okay, we move on to Russia now, where the hottest meal in Russia, in Moscow, is a rat burger. Forget kale, forget quinoa. This season's foodie craze in Moscow is homegrown, affordable, and full of nutrients. It's rat. A giant orange-tooth rodent known as koipu, or river rat, found in southern Russia. And they're serving it up as a burger. You're gonna call it before you even hear the other stories. There's two more to go.
I mean, I'm leaning towards this one.
Okay.
It's literally a rat, is it the way Koreans eat dogs and they're like not technically dogs?
Back
it up. Yeah.
Beep. What is this? Beep. What is all this new information you're providing me with? What do you mean they're not dogs?
I mean, you know how like the joke goes that Koreans eat dogs.
I'm aware of every racist joke there
is. But here's the thing, like that's not a joke. That's what Koreans eat for dinner.
But
racist stereotype.
They eat wild dogs.
It's a dog, though.
Yeah. Like,
Okay,
right. But here's the thing. Wait, no. Is it a wolf or a dog?
It's a wild dog.
Okay, so what we do here in America is we, like, you get to adopt those things, and we, like, send you to a nice family. And in Korea,
they
fucking eat
them. But you wouldn't adopt a wild dog. It's like the difference between, like, a cat and a... something like a cat.
Okay. I get it now.
Really doing the Korean people justice there with that one, Akira. Yeah.
Just trust me. I'm Asian.
Oh, okay.
It is so weird to me that we eat cows and all these other animals, and yet we don't eat dogs. I don't eat dog, for the record, but I do find that very strange that like we're so judgy about that.
I don't find it strange. No, I'm pro judging people who eat dogs.
But why? Like, people have pet pigs.
Yeah.
People have pet cows.
I'm kind of with her. Like, I'm not going to ever think about eating a dog, but it is funny where we pick and choose. Like, for instance, a rat sounds absolutely disgusting.
Right,
like,
but why?
But, like, a lobster is, like, the bottom feeder of the ocean.
Lobsters
disgusting. They're the rat of the ocean.
Lobsters
and
are delicious. You watch your goddamn mouth.
But you know how it used to be, like, considered trash food?
Why don't you stop disrespecting them? Why? Because they have skeletal features. They're delicious.
No, because they literally
because they're the bottom feeders. I've heard all the rumors, and I don't believe it. They're the meal of kings.
Maybe if you tried dog, you would think the same thing.
Why don't you watch your mouth? How about that?
Yo, how bad would it be if you like accidentally or sneakily had some dog and it was delicious?
It would be like the Always Sunny episode when they get convinced that they eat human and they're like, fuck, it was so good.
You know what? I love when like episodes of the podcast like accidentally tie together. We have this cannibal theme going here, and I really like it.
That was
that natural.
And it's a great predicament they find themselves in the episode. Asa, I don't know if you've seen it, but I'd like your take on this. They can't decide if they break into a morgue because they think they want to keep eating this meat, this delicacy they love so much. But they can't decide if they want to eat the black guy or the white guy because they can't decide what's racist and what's not. Like, would it be racist to eat the black guy, or would it be racist to go, oh, I don't eat black guy?
I mean, what was the other person, white?
White.
Yeah, they're white.
I can only imagine.
I think black people
that put you in a pretzel racist. On that one.
I think black people would taste way better.
I think, oh okay, I'm God. Glad you said that, because I think white people would taste better.
Why?
Because I think black people are more, tend to be more muscular.
True.
And
yeah, that's definitely
I
a fact.
I prefer a fattier meat.
Okay, that's fair. I think black people have had so much seasoning throughout their lives that it might be a more delicious meat they have in them. White people, we don't season our foods and stuff.
Oh, right. Black people are just, they're just filled with hot sauce. It'll be nice and spicy.
Oh, you mean in the food that they eat?
Yeah, in the food that they eat.
Ooh, yeah, that depends. It
like
depends
white
on
people,
white
we
person.
Just fucking, I don't think I've ever used seasoning ever in my entire life.
Like, I
just
wouldn't want to eat that white person from like Williamsburg who's only
yeah,
eating
no, that person tastes like shit. That person is disgusting. But, you know, like someone down south who's been eating like like some biscuits and gravy their whole life and shit. Yeah.
That's some good shit.
This is racist. As long as we can all agree that the Asians probably taste the worst.
I think we can't be racist anymore because Oss is on their show now.
Actually, Asians have the highest percentage of body fat, like relative to our bodies.
Yeah, Asians were skinny.
You're all, they're all skinny fat.
Oh, you guys are skinny fat?
Yeah.
We mean you're asking this like you've never seen an Asian person with a shirt
really
off.
It's really hard, like, for me to put on muscle.
Like karate people.
Like Yao Ming is like the best athlete that's ever left China. That dude was fucking chubby as shit.
Yao Ming was not chubby.
Yao Ming was super chubby for a 7 foot tall dude.
What?
He should be leaned out. Yao he was like chubby looking. I guess like he was a fucking chubby dude. Fuck you.
Yeah, I'm gonna just let that one go.
Why?
Well, either
He's
way,
chubby.
I think Asians would be delicious.
I don't think so.
You're going to eat your own kind? That's fucked up. We're actually going to move on to China here in our little real or fake segment. A housing loan application submitted by a man in Zhengzhou. We're going to have to do a Asian pronunciation tutorial for me. I don't know.
I'm not Chinese.
What? You're Asian. It's all the same.
It's not the same.
This dude applied for a housing application. He was rejected because he needed to provide fingerprints, and he doesn't have any arms. Fucking China just giving you the old, nope, can't do it because you can't give me any fingerprints. And he was like, bro, I don't have any hands. I don't have any fingers because I don't have arms.
Wait, what about, can you give toes?
What? Toe prints?
Toe prints?
Apparently not. Fingerprinting is a common practice because signatures can be imitated, but no one can copy a fingerprint.
I don't think you have toe prints.
One employee checking it out. Fights is literally looking at his toes to see if he has
Damn,
toe prints.
If that's true, that's harsh.
I mean, so and
no, you got toe prints.
In a very odd tie-in here.
I definitely have toe prints.
At Couch by Couch West, there was a one-arm guy, Asa, who we were telling. Mm-hmm. I randomly did a voicemail about a one-arm guy. There happened to be one in the crowd. Then we go to a tailgate on Sunday, Jets Pats, and a one-armed stoolie shows up there. I'm like, I can't escape one-armed people. This dude was, he hunted.
He's just coming out of the woodwork.
He hunted deer, literally came out of the woodwork, and was using a meat grinder to grind up his deer meat. Sucked his arm right in. Chopped it off.
That's a tough day.
That is not a good day at the office. Hey, man,
how was your hunting? Like, up to his elbow?
Yeah, basically, and he just had, like, his sleeve kind of tucked in around his nub.
Mm-hmm.
Poor dude. He was a good sport about
it,
though.
I'm, like, really intrigued by, like, amputees and stuff.
Man, that does not surprise me one bit.
Stunning.
Shocking turn of events here. And then, okay, we'll move on to our fifth and final story here. So you got to start thinking about what was told and listen to this one here. Decide which is fake. This is in Southeast Asia. Surprise, surprise. Your people are so weird. A man married his 10-foot cobra that he believed to be his reincarnated girlfriend.
Okay, that's true.
A man has married his pet snake because he believed his dead girlfriend came back from to life as a cobra. He said this 10-foot serpent now spends every day together watching TV, sharing romantic picnics by the lake, playing board games, and going to the gym. Which, I'll be honest, whether you're dating a snake or a
how
human,
do you play...
that sounds like a nice little relationship there.
It does,
there.
But
TV,
how do you play
picnics?
Board games with a snake?
I don't know. You think snake
I'm
can
sure
like roll the dice?
Someone crazy enough to think that the snake was their girlfriend reincarnated would find a way to play that.
Yeah, that's true. That one's definitely true.
Okay, so Asa is on the record as saying the dude marrying the 10-foot reincarnated cobra is fake. Feitelberg, what is your...
No, that one's true.
Okay, so what's your fake guess then? I'll run through them real quick again so you remember. Snake marriage, Russian rat burger, sex Korea, North Korea sex potion that Kim Jong is making his scientists create, the dude who tried to pay for sex with a hard-boiled egg, or the guy with no arms getting rejected because he didn't have fingerprints.
That one.
You think the no arms is fake?
Yes.
Asa Akira.
The rat burger.
You are both incorrect.
Shut up.
Snake marriage story was false.
Wow.
That's a real detriment to the Asian population there, because like we both thought that one was 100% real.
Yeah. I was like not even listening.
Asa, yeah. Asa heard like Asian guy marries snake. Real. Yeah, real. Not real.
Put it in the books. I will tell you this. Now going forward, I'm going to completely make up one. This guy does have a pet snake, and he took a bunch of pictures with it and shit. Then somebody just found his pictures online, made up a backstory that he married a 10-foot cobra, and ran with that. So it's kind of like you're a weirdo who hangs out with a 10-foot cobra.
Asian people are so hardcore about reincarnation.
That's why
I believe that.
I mean.
Wait, hold on. So that means all the other ones are true?
Yep. Russians are eating rats. Kim Jong has asked his scientists to make sex potion. That dude did try to pay for sex with a hard-boiled egg. And that poor son of a bitch in China is not getting the house.
China is fucked up.
Fucked up.
That's.
Your people.
Wow.
Those are your
people.
No,
that's not my people.
No, but I mean, it's your people, though.
That's not my people. That's one of the least fucked up things China does, I feel
like. Here's the thing. If someone said to me, like, those Scottish people, that's weird, and I'd be like, oh, I'm not Scottish, I'm Irish, I'd be like, that's close enough. So you can't really be nitpicking with this whole Chinese-Japanese thing.
No, are you kidding? It's totally different.
I'm not kidding.
First of all, I've said this a million times, but Japan, we're the white people of Asia. And it goes Japan, Korea, China.
Wait, Koreans eat the dogs. And they're above China?
They're wild dogs.
Asa, if you eat dogs, you can't be above.
I'm not telling you my personal hierarchy.
I'm just telling you facts.
These are the cold hard facts.
Where do and that's the three. That's on the podium.
That's the three.
That's gold, silver, and bronze. And then the rest is like, you're not even humans.
That's like the fucking Vietnamese. Yeah. The hell with them. To hell with Vietnamese people.
The Viet Congs. Oh, man. All right, so I'm getting you good steaks. I'm getting you fresh suits. But what's more important than all that, Feitelberg, is a good head of hair. And I know you're not going to deny that. I know you, above all else, believe that a good head of hair goes the distance, right? But here's the deal.
I do believe that.
I'm 31 years old. A lot of guys listening to the Podfathers and whatnot are a little bit older, a little bit more stressed, so your hair starts to thin a little bit, right? And that's brutal. Once you start losing your hair, once it starts thinning up top, it's a killer. Your confidence
not
is
good.
Your confidence is ruined. You can't dress that up. You got to wear a hat. It's not good. And that's where this new shampoo, Pure Dior, comes in. Pure Dior, there's over 13,000 reviews online talking about this shampoo, where it's going to help you grow a healthy scalp to keep that hair looking fresh and thick. Go to 2MinuteClub.com, the number 2MinuteClub.com/mailtime, and you're going to get $20 off your first order of Pure Dior. There's an 8-week cycle, and 9 out of every 10 users has noticed a measurably improved volume in the hair. And here's the thing, man. If your hair's thinning, you got to just try absolutely everything. That's the most important thing in the world.
If there's anything in this world I believe, it's that this will solve hair.
Right, and you have to.
I'm gonna try that.
Everybody has to try it, because why not?
Just keep, for thicker hair.
Keep that hair, even if you're not losing your hair. You don't want to lose your hair. Start growing it even thicker right
shampoo
now with Pure Dior. 2MinuteClub.com/mailtime to get $20 off that first order. We're gonna get into a little Barstool DVR segment, because the three people on this podcast are probably the three most lazy television watchers, I think, maybe on the planet Earth.
What's up, you TV junkies?
I am the one who knocks.
Time is a flat circle.
I I think we could go toe to toe with any trio on the planet.
That was very 100%. Nice of you to say. I agree.
I mean, it's just facts. It's not. I'm not giving you compliments. I'm not. It's not exaggeration. We're just.
It is a compliment, though.
Oh, in our book, it is. Yeah, some of the like the nerd like hippies out there would be like, "Oh, you watch TV? Ugh.
I hate
oh,
that."
Oh, awesome! Why don't you get out? Why don't you get outside? Why don't you go outside a little bit? Get outdoors. Get some fresh air.
Terrible.
Fuck that. Team
the
indoors
worst
for
is
life.
When someone is like, "Oh, I don't even own a TV."
Oh.
I'm like, "Goodbye.
Dude, get out of my life."
Still exist?
Yeah.
I don't even like the people who are like,
they
I don't have
more than ever
cable.
Now.
I hate when the weather's nice outside because I have to go out. And I have to fucking create a little like structure to block the sunlight from getting on my iPads while I watch TV. It's so annoying. I'm like, I have to go outside because it's nice out, and you know, one day I'll be in my hospital bed and I'll regret wasting this day. And so I go out and I have like a towel over my head just to block the sun.
You create like it's an outdoor indoor experience.
Yeah, you go outside and put a roof over your head.
I go outside and build a house.
John, just set yourself free, man. Just don't even bother anymore. When it's nice out, who cares? Pretend it's not. It's always nice inside. That's the rule.
It is hard not to feel guilty, though.
Oh,
I,
no.
I feel the shame. It's the social stigma.
You guys need to get on my level, then. I can't do this whole thing with you guys unless you just accept who you are as a person. No stigma, no shame. Team indoors for life.
Okay, well,
you know what? You know what the thing is? People who, like, from, like, a million years ago who couldn't live indoors, if they came to the future now and they saw that people were, like, willingly being outside, they'd be like, are you fucking crazy? Go inside. You guys have air conditioning and electricity and shit. We had to live outside. Team indoors for life. Westworld fights. Westworld is probably the weirdest show I've watched. Well, I guess I watched The Leftovers, but Westworld's up there as far as weird, wacky sci-fi shit. You sound like you're all in on it, yes?
I'm very in. I was super late on it. I didn't watch it until Monday. Last Monday.
How can you be super late? There's been like 4 episodes.
No, it's on. We're on 9.
It's been 8. Yeah,
oh,
it's been
really?
9, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I watched all 8 in 2 days.
So you are all about it. You're all in.
100%.
Let me ask you this. Do you know what's going on?
I actually think I have a pretty general idea what's going on. First off, before we get into that, I want to give a quick shout out to Michael Crichton.
Oh, this
like,
guy.
That's this
Nail
is
time expert.
The ultimate. Asa, do you watch Westworld?
No, I like to binge watch, so I'm saving them.
So okay, you know the writer Michael Crichton. He also wrote Jurassic Park, which movie, right?
He wrote Westworld and Jurassic Park. I think he just like control.
Hang on a second. You don't like Jurassic Park? God damn
I
it!
I mean, it's not really my kind of movie. No.
Continue fights. Unbelievable.
I don't like movies where it's like nonstop action. Like there's no love story. That's already
true.
Out for me.
There is a love story, but here's what we're gonna do.
There's a love story between man and beast. It's the ultimate love story.
I don't know. It's just like nothing about that is really my kind of movie, to be honest.
Well, nonetheless,
no offense.
The same guy who wrote that movie wrote Westworld, and it's the same exact fucking story.
It's Jurassic Park, but with humans.
Instead of
making dinosaurs, they make, like, robot humans.
It's literally the same story, even to the point where they're, like, sneaking DNA out of the park to, like, give to, like, the massive corporation. It's crazy.
It's wild.
It's the same fucking story.
And people, and you know why, though? Because it's a fucking awesome story. I would just do that again, too.
Wait, but isn't it a remake of an old movie, Westworld?
There was, like, a movie. Well, so he wrote this book, then there was an old movie that I think everybody says kind of sucks, and now it's this big-budget HBO series that everybody loves.
My buddy who saw the movie says it's, like in the one of the great parts of the show is it's tough to tell who's a robot and who's a human. Because they
look and act identical.
And I guess in the movie, it was the 70s, and it's just like, oh, those are the robots, and those are the humans.
Which, honestly, I can't even, that would ruin the whole thing.
Yeah,
the whole premise is that. I will be honest, I don't know what's going on, but when I'm watching, this show is the definition of a show you have to put your phone down for. And that's how I classify all my TV shows.
100%.
Can I watch it while I'm browsing Twitter, or do I need to, like, put it down and completely watch. And now,
yes.
I think there's value in both of those shows. Like, yes. Sometimes I really do want to watch a show where I can just kind of, like, look over every now and then and still get the gist of it, and I don't have to be fully invested. But yes. Then I do like my shows where it's like, okay, I need to know what's going on here. I want to try to predict what's happening. I need to get all the subtleties, so I put my phone down. This is not a show you can do that with. And between Shay and the phone and it's late and I'm tired, I haven't really given Westworld, like, my full attention. So that's why I don't really know what's going on. But I also do think, just in general, it's a pretty fucking complicated show.
It's pretty complicated. I think I have it.
Multiple timelines and people of all sorts. It's, you know, you got to really.
Is it a virtual reality thing or is it parallel universes? Or do we not know?
I wouldn't say parallel universe. I don't think it's really either. It's just that these people pay to get into this park where you can live like in the Wild West and do whatever you want. You can fuck people. You can kill people.
Like Hostel. Where like really rich people pay a lot of money.
Yeah, yes.
It's crazy, right. Expensive. It's $40,000 a day.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
But they're not like,
really rich.
The people are insanely real. So it's like they're really killing people, but they're just
so robots. It's like a video game.
Kind of.
You know what? It's almost like a couple episodes ago where we talked about taking that Netflix pill where you can like live out the TV show. It's kind of like that. So I mean, it's awesome. It's wild. It's definitely a unique type of show. I do think that it benefits a little bit from it's the Sunday night HBO show, and people just go nuts for that no matter what it is.
No, I mean, absolutely. Every Sunday night HBO show gets that treatment. But it was one I wasn't sure I was going to be in on, and then I watched it, and I'm very in on it.
Asa, I want you to join up, too. I think, you know, it's not...
I mean, 9's enough. 9 episodes is enough that I can start.
Yeah. So you're the type you like to let it all stack up so you can binge through it rather than watch week to week.
Yeah, well, I have really bad memory. So there's like very few shows that I can watch week to week and like remember things about the characters. And
I totally agree with that.
Like, I just can't stay interested for 7 days in one story. Like, I just can't.
Unless like those type of shows, I feel like I need to like read the articles, read the reviews, go on Reddit and read the theories. Then I'm thinking about it every single day. Mm-hmm. But if it's just like, oh, I haven't thought about this in 7 days, I need the recap. I need to look up what the characters' names are, all that sort of shit.
Unless I'm like really invested.
That's the worst when you binge like Netflix though, and then they season 2 comes out in a year and a half.
And
you're like, I don't remember a fucking thing.
Yeah, you're like, I just don't care about these people anymore. Yeah.
Right. They're totally out of my life.
Yeah.
I've been watching the show Goliath on Amazon. It's an Amazon Instant. It's got Billy Bob Thornton in it. He's a lawyer. I don't think either of you guys have watched it, but I just finished binging it. I would give it my seal of approval. People are always asking me for like a new show to binge. I would say it's worth it. It's him. He's like kind of like a disgraced lawyer taking on his ex firm in like a very high profile case. It's not like, you know, incredible, but yeah, I mean, it's enough that it kept my interest. The first couple episodes felt very much just like a regular like legal procedural, and then like 2 or 3 episodes in, it really starts getting starting to cook. So I recommend that. Asa, you know,
and that's the other category of show. Like it's like totally watchable. But not great.
Yeah, I would never be like, this is my favorite show. But someone was like, I need a new show to binge.
That's basically every single show for me.
Yeah, except for like, that's the, like the 90% of shows. Yeah.
It's like every single show is just like, oh, the television's on. This is good. That's basically it.
I think of this as a show that I was like, me and my wife both liked it and watched it together. It's pretty rare that we like find that common ground. So it's like, this is going to appeal and apply to a lot of people. So give it a whirl. And Billy Bob Thornton's like doing his usual like drunk, disgusting old man self that he does so very well.
Do you know his appearance fee is only $20,000? I was looking up celebrity appearance fees today because Tim Tebow's was apparently $1 million, and I thought that was fucking bullshit. And I still stand by that being bullshit.
What is an appearance include though?
Yeah, like what would a Billy Bob Thornton appearance be?
You go pick him up at the drunk tank, probably.
Actually, I would like to, 20 grand, let's pool together and we just like drink whiskey with Billy Bob. Yeah. That'd be pretty fun.
The reason, Austin, I don't know if you saw this, in Tim Tebow's book, he claims Bill Belichick talked him out of making an appearance fee for $1 million. And I was just like, that's not true. Because
I don't know any of those people.
Yeah, you know who Tim Tebow is. Come on.
No.
Holy shit, Asa. You work for Barstool Sports, Asa. That's crazy. And she, I mean, she definitely doesn't know who Bill Belichick is. That was crazy that you thought she was
going to
know that.
Belichick, well, that was silly.
But I feel like I hear you guys talking about that guy a lot.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we never shut the fuck up about Bill Belichick. but I would like to go drink with Billy Bob Thornton. Me and you would, Fights. Asa, not so much because it's a topic I want to get into in a minute. But first, let me tell you about 5-4 Club. 5-4 Club is an exclusive clothing membership where you, every single month or so, you're going to get a shipment of a few pieces of clothing. So right now it's the fall and into the winter. You're going to be getting hoodies, sweaters, jackets, jeans, all that good stuff, which, Fights, we always agree, that's the best kind of clothing. That's the most stylish stuff. That's the stuff you want to wear. Plus, you can hide all your fat in the winter.
That's why
stuff,
I love, like, I the summer's awesome, but I fucking hate the summer because you just wear a t-shirt and you can't hide anything. Fall, you get me the vest, the sweatshirts, you get that outerwear going.
5-4 is going to send you all sorts of stuff to cover up that fat. They got, it's exclusive clothing that you can only wear if you sign up with 5-4 Club. Right now, if you go to 5-4 Club and use the promo code MAILTIME, you are going to get a 40% discount on your first package, plus a pair of Mark McNary sunglasses, which are valued at just $75. The offer expires on December 31st, so go to 5-4 Club, spell it out, FIVEFOUR club.com. Use the promo code MAILTIME. You're going to get everything sent to you that fits you and your style profile, so you know you're going to like it. Free size exchanges, free delivery. They make it as easy as possible. Last segment of the day, Asa. This is what we're going to get into this every week because I feel like you are a very intriguing character. And this is what we like to call Ask Asa. So I'm going to kick things off with Ask Asa. So every week you can send in questions, email it to us, tweet us with the hashtag. You are sober. How long have you been sober?
I've been sober for like 10 years.
10 years.
No, I'm sorry. 9 years.
9 years.
23.
And it, as far as I've understood it from talking to you, it wasn't like anything horrible happened where you were like, I need to become sober, like a DUI, like an accident, or you overdosed or something. Like, that's usually what makes people be like, all right, I got to clean my act up. You just woke up one day and you were kind of like, I'm going to do this healthy living.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I feel like such a dick saying that because I know a lot of people like struggle with addiction and it's really hard to, you know, get off of substances and stuff. But like I started doing drugs when I was 13.
Okay.
I grew up in New York City, so
yeah, the city
that's
kids,
like pretty
man.
Normal.
You guys would just like ride the subway and like fucking
aren't you a city kid?
Smoke angel dust. I was born in the Bronx, but we like my family got me out of there. So that I wasn't doing drugs when I was 13.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
What were you doing when you were 13? Like just smoking weed?
The first drug I ever tried was ecstasy.
And
then I got really into weed.
You dove
and then,
right
like,
in.
I mean, just everything. Everything short of heroin and crack. And then like I got married when I was 19 to actually a sports bookie.
Hey, how about that? Maybe,
yeah, so hey.
It all comes full circle back into sports life.
And he was really into painkillers. So I got really into painkillers. And then I stopped doing like all the other recreational drugs and I was just doing painkillers. But then I got like kind of addicted. And then I was doing that for like 2 years. And then I don't know, like one morning I just woke up and I didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, so it doesn't. I mean, obviously, like you're saying, I was addicted to painkillers. Like there was probably a good reason to stop, but it wasn't like a singular moment where you were.
No, there
like,
was no singular moment. I mean, like
it's kind of wild.
There were like a few really bad moments. Like there was one time I smoked crack, and like it was terrible. It was so good, and then it was terrible. But that's not what got me sober. But like, I don't know, like being on painkillers is like the best thing, but it's also like shockingly really stressful. Like I remember having to like time out all my pills and like I was at the point where like I didn't want to do anything without being high. Like if I was going to the bodega to buy cigarettes because I smoked back then, like I wouldn't even want to do that without getting high first. So it was just like a really stressful life. And I wanted to get into porn and I was like, you know what? This is like a new chapter of my life. So I got sober and then came out to California.
So sort maybe like one vice for the other? Traded
kind
in like
of,
the
yeah,
pills for the penis?
Yeah, pretty much.
Fights, can you imagine just straight up like going sober?
I don't.
Like tomorrow, like not only are you not drinking, like no more dip, just nothing.
This is going to
sound bad. Does dip count?
Well, they usually say if you're going to be like live that like clean, healthy life, you got to get rid of like everything.
I don't know about that.
I don't think I could leave my house sober. Like,
what do you do?
I do leave my house all sober all the time. But I mean, like I wouldn't want to go out on a Friday night. I wouldn't want to go out on a Saturday night to just like drink.
Without what drinking?
Yeah.
See, that's like, the like, other thing. Like, it was easy for me to go sober because I don't drink.
Yeah, that's,
like I never
well,
like
that's,
drinking.
That's a huge part of being sober.
What you just don't like the feeling of being drunk?
I just don't like, yeah, like even in my heaviest drug phase, like I never drank alcohol.
I feel like that's a real Asian thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Be not into drink. I don't see a lot of drunk Asian folks in my travels.
In Japan, they're everywhere.
No shit.
And party really hard.
They all get fucked up and eat dogs.
Not in Japan, and they're wild dogs. Whatever.
That was a great eye roll.
Can you imagine just like going out and like talk like last night we had the Barstool telethon, and I was like, I'm gonna have to talk to people, so I had a couple Oak and Cokes because I'm like, I'm gonna talk to strangers.
Do you drink every single day?
I'm at that point where I'll drink wine like every single night, which is not, you know. But it is.
I don't.
I'm having something every time.
My parents do that.
I only drink on Fridays and Saturdays, but I have a couple of drinks every day.
I like that description.
You're probably an alcoholic. I mean,
I'm not probably an alcoholic.
You can't talk on the phone to people without drinking.
Well, I mean, I could. It's like
don't
it's
want
like,
to.
Yeah, it's like I just don't.
It's
want
like you said,
to.
Yeah, you could have walked to the bodega without popping pills. You just didn't want to.
Right.
It's
like I definitely on the phone I could talk to someone on the phone sober if I wanted to. If I like at a bar, like just like if some stranger came up to me, I'd be like, why the fuck are we in each other's lives right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, for that reason I don't go to bars, just because I'm like, what?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not drinking, don't go to the bar, because nobody wants that. You don't want to be there because the bar's not fun unless you're drinking, and the people who are drinking are like, you're judging me, why are you here? I don't like that. So if you're gonna live the sober life, just stay with your weird sober friends. Watch TV.
Yeah. Right? But it took a really long time to, like, I don't know, like, for maybe, like, the first 3 years I was sober, I had, like, this little, you know, like, those Dramamine bottles?
Yep.
Like, the little portable ones?
Yep.
I had that full of OxyContin, and I took that everywhere with me, and, like just in case I needed it. And
that's,
it was,
like the opposite most sober people do.
I know. Everything I do is the opposite. Like, for example, I allow myself to get high like a few times a year.
I love it. It's like a festival. It's like fucking.
No, it is. But like knowing that I have that to look forward to helps me to stay sober.
That is so backwards. Like
it is. But
that's
it
like
works.
A diet. I get that. It's like a diet.
Oh, you have a cheat day.
Cheat day.
You have a cheat day, but it's just with a ton of Oxy.
Yeah.
That you are.
But I actually haven't done it in 2 years.
That you are a very mentally strong person.
Maybe.
No, definitely. To just be able to be like, I love drugs and I do it every now and then, but then I just stop cold turkey for like years on end. That's wild. Not many people can do that.
Is your husband sober?
No.
See, that's even crazier.
My husband drinks and does parties.
That would be so insufferable for me. Like if my girlfriend was sober, because I'd just be like, I know she's judging me every time I get drunk.
Yeah, so you don't, I mean,
I guess most women don't.
Yeah.
Most chicks get furious when their husbands are out and fucked up and stuff like that. You don't care?
Even when they drink themselves.
Right.
It's like, you got drunk tonight.
Yeah, I'm like, you're more fucked up than I am. How am I in trouble? Yeah.
No.
I just don't care.
First of all, he doesn't even get fucked up that often. But when he does, I just stay away from him.
What a woman.
I mean, just because I know I'm a downer if he's, like, trying to party.
She's. I mean, that's just – girls think that way. But then there are some times where maybe you throw out $400 worth of his weed, which we will talk maybe about next week. We'll leave that for next episode of KFC Radio. This episode was brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings is America's favorite one-week fantasy sports site. Doesn't matter if your running back has pulled both hamstrings on your season-long team. Doesn't matter if your sleeper pick is still staying asleep. Doesn't matter if you got injuries and your team sucks, because DraftKings is one-week fantasy football where there are no season-long commitments, and you draft a new team every single Sunday. Every week is a brand new season at DraftKings. So just pick your contest, draft your team, and follow the action live. Make money. Spice up football. I mean, my team sucks right now, so all I got to do is look forward to trying to make some cash. So I put some money on the line every week at DraftKings. Some contests, all you got to do is finish in the top 50% to win some money, and the other ones have huge cash prizes only at DraftKings. So don't wait. Start your new season at DraftKings.com now. Use the promo code MAIL, M-A-I-L, to play for free with your first deposit. That's MAIL to play for free, where you can win $100,000 in total prizes this weekend, only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details. Fights. Give me last words.
No.
No last words. All right, Asa, we'll catch you next week, all right?
Bye.
See ya.